Well, no, not really.
Close to perfect?
Yeah, that sounds good.
I'm dead. I'm dead. It's all gone black.
Pop-tarts!
Stuff.
We're recording the Pop-Tarts. Spoiler alert and cool news. RobPity.com hosted comic book podcast. We have more sponsors.
Yeah.
We have more sponsors than NASCAR.
We do.
It's, wow, our name is cumbersome and long. We need an acronym.
Especially since we don't make any money on this, that's what makes it even scarier.
We have the worst sponsors in the world. We really just have places we dump this thing.
We do. Who wants to sponsor us?
Yeah.
We don't care what company it is.
We will sponsor. We'll be getting a bunch of requests to sponsor fucking baseball teams, and kids will have to wear that horrific name on their shirts.
That would be awesome.
Really?
As long as they pay American dollars.
No, we have to support. We have to pay them. We have to buy the little bastards' uniforms.
No, that's not how I understand business.
We're Little League Baseball. Okay, who are you? You lack of understanding of business person, you.
My name is Mark underscore L underscore Miller, and I also go by the name Nom de Plume of Ambush Bug on Ain't It Cool News. At the Twitters, I'm Mark underscore L underscore Miller. And on Facebook, I'm just Mark L Miller.
Wow, you're so many personas for one man.
Yep.
I am Rob Patey. I am hosting, I guess, the podcast this week while our third brethren, JD, takes a week to art. He is arting comic books. So
siesta, if you will.
No, that's sleeping. He is actually creating. He is creating the art that of which we critique. So with that...
You know I'm creating?
A big probably bowel movement.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I know it. All right, so this week we had a Twitter, and that Twitter came from who, Mark?
Amanke Nuelapan.
Now, we know Amanke Azapan from...
His name is... I want you to say it. Amanke...
Amanke...
It's Amankai. Amankai...
Amankai...
Nuelapan.
See... And Amanke, I have to apologize because I fucked up the joke last week because of the mass amounts of Dilaudid I was on. I'm only on Percocet this week, so much sharper. And I what I meant to say is that I was going to get Amanke Honk Nalapapan tattooed on my dick when it was soft, and when it was hard, it would say, "Welcome to America Town." So the joke works better when I do the full joke instead of going, "I'm going to get a Makanazapan tattooed on my cock and make and bring
it's
me to America Town."
Amankai Nuelapan.
Amankai Nuelapan.
He writes at Mark underscore L underscore Miller. Haha, thanks for the shout out. Listen to the podcast. Hee hee. Tell at Rob Patey he has my permission to get my name tattooed. Haha.
And because I live in America land, I could get that name tattooed on my cock anytime I want, with or without your permission. It's not trademarked.
Well, it's his name, so we should respect his name.
I did. It's not tattooed on my dick right now, so respect.
Well, there you go.
And he did the book Boy, number one, right? Which we like.
Boy One.
Yeah.
Boy One. He's a great artist, and he also did the art for a new book out. I think it's out now. It's for Young Terrorists, for Black Mask.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I think that's the only correspondences we have this week.
That's it?
Somebody else said headlines. I don't know. I like to do the Twitter hashtags sometimes when I'm bored, just get my creative writing going. I'm not even going to explain what a trending hashtag is to you because it's a waste of time. But one of the ones today was hashtag headlines we would love, and I got a Rob Patey tapped for Fable spinoff, Present Pinocchio. I accept the role now.
Pinocchio.
I would give JD's last remaining nut to play President Pinocchio in Fables movie. And that refers to, for anybody who didn't read the last issue of Fables, Pinocchio ends up elected President of the United States after the Mundy world finds out that magic exists.
Well, I didn't know that. We didn't review that here.
I know. I asked you fuckers and you said, "No, it's not reading." Geppetto. So we didn't do
it. I did.
I did a written review of it, though, so suck it.
You did. I remember that.
There you go.
Good times.
Dick. Okay, so that was Rodan. Yeah, well, we're still piloting this thing. Reach out on the Facebooks. I dropped a question today and nobody fucking answered. Thanks. I dropped that in the Ain't It Cool News group and the Pop-Tards podcast group. Okay, so you know what sounds good to me, Bug?
What?
Doing Justice League number 43 some justice or injustice.
Yeah, because we've never covered this title before.
This is a new one for us. This was the start of the New 52 universe. We probably should have done at least one or two podcasts about it. I've actually heard from some of our listeners that the original Justice Leagues were were stellar. Justice League Jones, I believe, told us how awesome they were.
He's really the only one.
All right, well, how many listeners do we have? We could say that's probably 35% of our listening audience.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He seems to be a very, in the minority here because the first couple of Justice Leagues were rough reading.
Rough reading. Well, they were trying to build the universe-ish so they could deconstruct it.
They weren't building anything. They were just...
It's a world. It's a world now. The New 52 is a world in the multiverse, so that was built.
I still have really no concept of what's up nor down nor left nor right of the DC universe, but that's a tale for another day.
Well, okay, fine. But Justice League 43, what do you think?
Now, within the confines of this story of this issue and this arc, I thought this was a pretty good one. There had a lot of really good moments in this book, and it really suggested some interesting things as well, which I wanted to talk about. To start out, though, I wanted to point out something one of our readers pointed out was just that Geoff Johns starts out by having Kalibak just beating the shit out of a dog with a club, and that seems a little excessive. But honestly, if you look back on a lot of Geoff Johns' work, I see a lot of animals dying. And I don't know. I don't want to point any fingers or get, like, PETA all up in arms or anything like that. It just seems like there's a lot of that. Like, at the beginning of one of the, like, big arcs, like, it was, like, Final Crisis or something like that, a bird dies, like, or a bird gets stepped on or something. Uh-huh. And then there's, like, other stuff that just along the way, there's always, like, some type of animal something.
All right, but let's be clear that there's using an animal as a metaphor for something within the story, and then then there's going Michael Vick, and this time it's the Michael Vick of comics. It was unnecessary.
Kalibak, it was definitely unnecessary.
It's just not evil enough.
Beating a dog, I mean, it's horrible.
But that's it's a hellhound of apocalypse. If you're getting attacked by a hellhound of apocalypse, I think you can do better to show Kalibak being evil, like a pineapple in Granny Goodness's vagina or something. Just, you know, something that's really sadistic.
Or something like, yeah, I don't know. It just seems, I don't know. It just seemed a little petty. I agree with the reader who said that, because I do think that we don't really need that going on. I mean, we already know Kalibak's the caveman of the Dark Side Sons, but still.
Apocalypse and Empire, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the parts after that, we get Batman sitting on Mentron's throne.
Mobius.
It's the Mobius chair, but his name is Metron.
Correct.
And it was Metron's, like, all this time. So, and still, I would have liked to have seen just the chair go nuts across the universe and, like, the evil is chair. I want to see that.
Do you think that Metron's ass was imprinted within the seat cushion so it's comfortable for Batman?
No, but I'll bet you he farted a lot on that chair, and it probably reeks of intergalactic cheese.
Yeah, but that's like, I mean, that's the farts of gods. So, I mean, you gotta huff that and just
God fart.
Ride the dragon.
God fart. Didn't they sing some really good death metal?
They did. They're an opening act for Guar.
Guar, featuring Godfart.
Yeah, so what else happened in this book, aside from Batman sniffing the Mobius chair?
Couple of things that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
One, they're suggesting something here that I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone knows that Scott Free and who was the other one? Orion were switched it when they were at birth between the High Father and Apocalypse. And how, like, they were... as some sort of peace treaty sort of thing between the new gods and the apocalypse gods, I guess. But they seemed like they were suggesting a little bit that that same thing happened with Wonder Woman and this other chick.
What are you alluding to?
I'm thinking that Wonder Woman is the daughter of Apocalypse.
No.
Look at the clues that we were given today in here. First of all, it's narrated by Wonder Woman. There's no real reason why it needs to be narrated by Wonder Woman, other than, I guess, let's see.
You're right.
It's not like I was thinking, okay, maybe this is Wonder Woman's story. We get down to the page where Wonder Woman and Batman and those guys are all talking. We meet.
She's the that's the Myrna. That's the daughter of Apocalypse.
Yes.
What's her nuts? That's Myrna.
Who's with Apocalypse.
That's a daughter.
Yes, but with Hunt Me Father. She is Darkseid's daughter. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
They're all talking. And her mother is... Wait, he said... Grail said she was an Amazon. Her mother is Diana. Her name is Myrna Black. I've never heard of her. Blah, blah, blah.
That's the daughter of the Amazon.
Yeah. He said she was taken the same day that she was born.
And that's what the cat said.
Yes. She was taken, and so you and Darkseid's daughter share the same birthday? Creepy. And then Batman says, I see it, and he's about to notice it, and then all of a sudden, Scott Free booms in.
Boom.
And so I'm just thinking that would be another layer that they could add to Wonder Woman, who basically has a million layers.
But that's unnecessary.
Because something doesn't work. They just keep on heaping it on there for her. That Zeus and her somehow switched their two daughters at birth. And so Zeus was taking care of the one, and Myrna was taken care of by Apocalypse, or not Myrna, but whatever it is, this other chick with the half hair.
But they already did that with the sons.
Yes, and so I'm saying they're
stupid.
Doing it with the daughters. I don't think it's stupid. I think it's a little bit repetitious. I think they're trying to make Diana as interesting as they possibly can, so making her the daughter, the secret daughter of Apocalypse, would be pretty interesting, I think.
No. She's already got a convoluted enough structure with the
universe.
So don't add more to it.
Hey, don't tell me. Tell Jeff Johns. I'm just
saying.
Jeff
Johns, don't add more to it. It's already complicated enough.
All I'm saying is that's the illusion I read between the lines in this one here.
Okay, well, fine. Your illusions are not what I'm going to accept as reality.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next issue.
Indeed, we shall. 44 will tell.
But anyway, there's a really big clash of the Titans here as the Anti-Monitor and Darkseid come to blows.
They're both big. They're both so large.
They are. They're big guys.
Wow.
And then, meanwhile, Superman and Lex are hanging out on Apocalypse, and they're fighting parademons, and Superman is being beat up. Pretty badly. Because there's no sun on Apocalypse, so he's losing all of his power, and he actually starts bleeding. And Lex is like, "Oh, I will help you. I will carry you on my back." And there's like a
I use some rocket boosters.
Music.
his rocket boosters because there is no sun. And then he convinces Superman to fly into an apocalypse pit because he'll get solar powered by fire.
Somehow that's weird. Yeah, that to me seemed a little off right there. Well, because
basically, like, Superman, his brain cells also depleted without the sun, because who would fall for that? That's science.
Yeah, so dive into the apocalypse pit because that's somehow solar powered. I don't know.
Nope.
Yeah, but he comes bursting out of there with negative energy.
Yeah.
He looks like Mr. Negative from Spider-Man.
It was a terrible idea, and Lex Luthor is not a member of the Justice League, nor will he ever be. He will turn people. Let's not trust Lex.
So yeah, I mean, once again, it's proving that, like, super brains is not one of Superman's powers.
Which is fine. That's why we had the original Crisis on Infinite Earths, was because Superman had become too baller of a character and there was no danger anymore. So fine. Yeah. Okay, don't make him a genius. Don't make him I mean, come on. It's flame. It's not solar.
Well, once again, it's like, it's hard for some people to write Lex Luthor as a super genius. I mean, it's like, you got to make him crafty, but somehow you got to make him a genius without making other people dumber. That's not making your character a genius. That's just making all of the other characters dumb.
Kind of like America right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, play on his gullibility, play on his, dedication to Earthlings, his humanity that was instilled in him by Ma and Pa Kent. Play on that stuff. Don't just tell him to do something and then he dives right in there to do it. I mean, I guess it's showing that he's gullible, but still, it just makes Superman look like a total idiot.
Yeah, Lex Luthor not too bright either, assuming he wasn't duping or playing him, and he actually did think that would be a good idea, and that was solar power. It's fire. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it's fire.
It's like he looked at something else that's yellow and glowing and thinking, oh, that's the sun too, and then all of a sudden he looks at, like, the lasso on Diana's waist, and he's like, that's the sun too.
Okay, so, all right, basically what we liked out of this issue was Batman sniffing the Mobius chair and saying, I'm going to go unlock the mysteries of the universe. Everything else, from the dog beating to the sheer idiocy upon Apocalypse, we're going to say, yeah, not so much.
No, I'm just saying that I am interested in this whole dichotomy they're setting up with Diana, that it might be that they are making her out to be the daughter of Darkseid.
I got it. But that's like, okay, if that happens, yes.
That's interesting to me.
This was the good. That was the impetus of this issue, then, was the first allude to that. And if that stays with continuity for 20 years, this issue will be worth at least the cover price.
Exactly. What do you think of Jason Fabok's art?
I love Jason Fabok's art. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful issue. And John's doing a fine job with it. It's just some inconsistencies of character, but again, we've got a very loosey-goosey universe that we're dealing with now. So, forgivesies.
Yep.
And shit.
Next book. Moving right along.
Book of Death number 2. Oh, yeah.
Book of Death.
Oh, yeah, because it's all about death and Valiant. No.
No, it's not.
No, Valiant is good.
Valiant is good. I don't know if this is aptly titled.
What?
Book of Death. I guess a lot of people have died.
Sure. Well, it's the end. All people will die by the end. That's what the little bastard's prophesizing. The little necrogeomancer.
So Tama.
The necrogeomancer.
The geomancer.
Yeah, I'm going to call her the necrogeomancer. She's kind of fucking it up.
She's the book of the geomancer. Here's what happens. See, you're assuming things just like the characters in this book.
Just like Wonder Woman is the seed of Darkseid.
All I'm saying is this: there is another geomancer who is being manipulated by Lord Dark, who we find out in
Master Dark.
Oh, Master Dark. Yeah.
Darkue.
Yes, and so, but Tama, she has been sent here from the future with the book of the Geomancer. And we've been reading through these book, these chapters, like talking about like Bloodshot and Eternal Warrior and Ninjak and stuff like that through the last couple of weeks. But this is the second chapter in this Book of Death sort of bookend, not bookend sort of books, but this is the main miniseries of this, this whole thing. And this is the interesting one. I did not find the other Book of Death to be really relevant or that interesting, because it felt just like a what if.
I don't know. I thought they had as much in the here and now as this issue did. You don't think so?
Yeah, this was a badass battle issue with Eternal Warrior basically whooping all of Unity's ass.
Yeah. No, I mean there was a brouhaha. I mean, no doubt. There was battle fists and robot smackdowns and all sorts of fighting. Ninjak swords. I like the fact that one of Ninjak swords was set as a vibro frequency to penetrate the exo armor.
Yeah, that was awesome. It makes Ninjak more of like the Batman of this universe, even though he's a little bit more flippant than Batman.
Oh, way more flippant than Batman.
But he has the tech stuff that Batman has, that like he's got that kind of ingenuity to come up with ways to dispatch all of his teammates should the occasion arise. And too bad he did not think of one for Eternal Warrior, because Eternal Warrior pretty much handed Ninjak his jack.
Well, he's the Eternal Warrior. I mean, you're going up against a guy who's named the Eternal Warrior. You shouldn't expect a good outcome unless you are the Eternaler Warrior.
Maybe you're the Eternal Peacekeeper.
Maybe I'm the Highlander. There could be only one.
Yeah, this is very Highlander-esque. Like, the whole Eternal Warrior thing is Highlander-esque.
But he's got the brothers to balance it out, you know. Armstrong's a lout, and Gilead's, or Ivar's a Time Walker.
But I love, I mean, just how we read Divinity a couple months ago, and Divinity was basically beating everybody with their own, like, weaknesses and everything like that. Eternal Warrior did the same thing here. And I don't mind it being a little bit repetitious, because Eternal Warrior has been one of them for so long all this time, and to see one of them them turn on one of their own, and then that person they turned on just really just handing them all their duundums, it was kind of nice.
Their duundums?
Yes. Entire duodenums.
Is that the tithing that they had to pay to the Church of Kick-Ass?
Yes, because you got to do unto others as you would do unto yourself.
Do unto yourselves. Yeah, I mean, this is good. I think a lot of people have, maybe Valiant is playing this, but I mean, a lot of people, I know, shifted away once they moved away from the standard continuity. And the only thing I'll say is that let's get some resonance and tempo to these books again, because I think that's one of the virtues of what they offer. And it's the only place we're going to find tight continuity right now is we just, you know, marveled at in Justice League.
Yeah, well, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't at this stuff, because it's like you can't, if you're not Spider-Man or Batman, you can't have issue number 49 or issue number 86 or something like that. It's just not, I don't see any of these books, any books coming along and having anything more than 50. These days, it just seems like no one wants to. I mean, for some reason, they've started the myth that no one's going to buy an issue like that, and then now people are actually saying that, like I just did. Like, they're not going to be buying it, because it's the truth. It's like people will just say, "Oh, I don't want to buy number 82, and have to feel like I have to read 81 issues before that." And it's just like I remember when I was a kid, it was interesting. It's like it made me want to go back and read these. It made me want to go back and read those stories and find out more about the character. Now it's just like people think it's like homework or something.
Well, you lamented that with Star Wars as well. And I just say it's the lament of the times. It's just there's more shit to do now than when there was when we were kids. You know.
Yeah.
It's like reading itself is becoming a lost art form. So, I mean, I'm not going to lament it. Fuck them. They don't want to read it. Fuck them. We'll be on the forefront of all the movies that come out because we always, you know, this is what they're pulling from. So,
well, yeah, but it's just like, so in response to that, Eternal Warriors had like two or three series. Harbinger has been rebooted. I think the only series that really has been going on is Unity and Exo Manowar. Everything else has been kind of mini series. Like there's Bloodshot Reborn. There's I guess Raya is still going on. Things like that. But none of them have gone past the 20-issue stage or something like that.
Well, and you know what, though? That's because, Bug, it's been proven science that, number one, sell to new consumers. I mean, that's the image model. Now, it's new titles and that, but you can, you know, put a new shine on an old girl with some polish to her ass. Is that car talk?
Sure.
Do I speak auto? Good. So you get what I mean.
Yeah, no, and I, and so it just confuses me that they will stick to their guns with Exo Manowar, but they won't do that with Bloodshot, who is an equally awesome character. I mean, I understand why they want to do that, and they want to reboot it, and they want to, like, have new readers read it and everything like that, but it just feels like if they get, and maybe they don't want to change writers, maybe they don't want to change creative teams, and so that's not an excuse to bring new readers onto there. So I guess doing the number one or, I don't know, having a new direction is just the way to go. But still, I felt like I lost interest in Harbinger when it went to like two or three different, it's spread out a little bit.
They basically started numbering via the arcs or the volume. So it was like, if this is a new story arc, this is a new number one. And it's a selling technique. That's what I was trying to say with my bad car analogy before. Number ones move off the shelf faster. So you make it a number one, it seems more accessible. It's psychology. It's sheeple psychology because we've got a country of sheeple. But, it works. So I can't fault them for it. But on the same token, as someone who, as you said, is balls deep and invested and looking for that seamless experience, you lose a little bit of that. So I just got to decide, at a certain extent, as all these comic companies do, how they're going to placate and who they're going to placate.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that, you know, you're not going to get continuity at Marvel these days. You're not going to get continuity at DC these days. And for a while there, it was like, okay, if you want some, like, really solid, tight continuity where something happens in Harbinger, in the Harbinger Wars, and it happens like the same month in Bloodshot, and then it like that stuff. I love that. That was attractive to me, and I want more of that from Valiant.
You know what I want to know? I want to know what Emma Goan thinks of this book. And Emma Goan is our new third podcast member, who is Emma Stone, who looks like a goat. So Emma, what do you say? Oh, I love that goat.
I don't know. I think I think her opinion is pretty bad.
Well, what is your opinion? Fuck her opinion, Emma Goans, of House of M, part of the Secret Wars Battle World universe prolapsing that's going on now at Marvel.
Well, you know how much I love alternate universes.
I do. That's what
and I also love gigantic spanning crossovers that last for months.
You know what else you love? You know what else you love?
I like different versions of characters in the same book.
Wait. No, you know what else you love? You love things that were written by Brian Michael Bendis, and he wrote the original House of M.
And I also really love mutants.
Yeah, I know you do. You really have a tolerance for what's happened to the universe.
And also, I don't love any of that stuff. So this book was really painful for me to read, despite the fact that it's written by Dennis Hopeless.
Friend of the show.
I'm not faulting the writing so much as is the fact that this exists.
Okay, so the same ration of shit I was trying to give to Darth Vader, you're going to deny me in this battle world drought of stories something that's really kind of good mutiny.
Okay, no. The difference here is that this is the shit billionth battle world book we've gotten, and Darth Vader is just the second book.
It's like one of five now.
The sister book.
It's like one of five now.
No, it's one of one, two. I think, is Princess Leia over? I think.
You counting the last Padawan prick, too?
No, that doesn't count. That's
why? Shit. Why does that count? It's Star Wars, you.
That's four.
Hypocrite.
That's four. It's four books. Even if you count Princess Leia, which I think Princess Leia is done.
Okay, fine. So you don't like the existence of the book. I mean, sure.
I guess we need to have another. But the other problem with this book is that basically this is Marvel basically letting us know that they've done Battle World before.
Yes.
With House of M. When House of M was made, and there was a new universe made through the eyes of some psycho shit.
Mordor. The Eye of Mordor.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically Scarlet Witch playing Doom, giving her daddy control over the realm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what this book is, which
While Pietro was doing subterfuge with Namor for the Atlanteans to attack this one small section of the entire battle world. This is like attacking Rhode Island, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Is it a world? Is each battle world a world?
Yeah, I don't know. And here we have another version of Wolverine.
Because it traveled from, like, continents, kind of like you go between East and West Berlin.
Yeah, I mean...
All right, so... All right.
I'm over it. There was a decent scene where Hawkeye shoots Wolverine in the eyes with two arrows. But that was done in shadow.
Well, don't hurt yourself. You're just reaching now.
Yeah, I'm just really trying to find something to like about this.
Just stop. Cause
you know who I liked?
What? Who did you like?
I liked the weird guy who brings the pancakes in to their breakfast. And in true Brian Michael Bendis fashion, we have people sitting around and eating.
Well, of course, it's House of M, but they're at a very stately table. It's not a kitchen. It's one of the many luxurious dining areas for the Magneto royal family. It's different.
This time it's pancakes instead of pizza, but it's still a flat food item.
Because it's classy, because they're royalty, sir.
Do you see this giant mutant chef that's wheeling in the cart?
Yeah.
He's pink. He's got a handlebar mustache.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who that guy is.
I want to look at him and go, see.
I think he's probably Italo-American.
Hey, look at Emiliano Filiberte.
Maybe Emiliano Filiberte.
That's
his real name.
He was in the back of that fucking Avengers book in 1977.
Yeah. This is Supercook, and I want the adventures of Supercook. And isn't it obvious where the fuck Pietro's been when he's trailing in water?
No, he could. Why?
I mean, he sits there and he shakes himself off like a dog, right. Vibrates himself, and he's leaving a trail of water like he's got like freaking irritable bowel syndrome.
Hey, easy. Fucking easy with the intestinal humor. Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry. All right, he's got, you know. He's got a soft bladder or something. once again, Wanda wigs out and has some type of weird power that it's just like, whatever. Now she has the power to float on bricks.
Hey, she fucked a guy. She fucked a guy sporting an infinity gem. So that to me says you can pretty much do anything after that.
Oh, anyway, I don't know. And then Polaris is grumpy. There's just... I don't know. Did you like it? You're an X guy.
I for what Battle World is, I enjoyed it. I really have no need to go to any second or third issues from any of these. I really don't. I don't care that much about where they're going.
There's an appearance of Death Locket.
I saw because her dad was weird. A little scamp.
Yeah,
it's weird seeing robot kids. Robot kids are creepier than real kids.
Yeah, they are.
And girl kids are fucking creepy because they're not fully grown people. All right, let's just power through
and
this.
Once, and once again, Magneto is made stupid to not suspect that his asshole son, who always walks into the palace wet, is conspiring with Namor.
Yeah, but again, he could have gone to the pool. He could have had
in his clothes.
He could have had a very sloppy prostitute. There's a plethora of reasons the boy could be bringing a trail in with him of H2O.
Well, or he could be.
Or it's crappy. It's crappy foreshadowing. All right, it's crappy foreshadowing. Dennis is a friend of the show. I was trying to be nice.
I'm just saying. I don't think it's crappy foreshadowing. I just think it makes Magneto look dumb.
So that makes it crappy foreshadowing because we all know Magneto's not dumb.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's paddle through this battle world. Okay. Howard the Human number one.
Howard the Human number one. You know, of what we had this week.
Was that Scotty Young and Jim Mahfood.
Jim Mahfood. He's a great artist. He's a fantastic artist. I don't think he is of Latino descent.
Are you going to be the sensitive one now?
No.
What the fuck?
But anyway, this was the best book of the week that we covered. And I guess that shows the quality of books that we covered this week.
God damn it, you're right. Shit.
Most entertaining, I guess, for me. Although I liked the Book of the Dead. I thought that was pretty good.
No, Book of Death was good, but it's good in a different sense. This is very good as a solitary read. And Book of Death is number two, so let's be fair there. Yeah.
Yeah. At least this was entertaining. It's a twist on the Howard the Duck thing that, you know, it's interesting. It would read for an interesting Howard the Duck arc on his own thing. But since we don't do that anymore and we just do, like, four-issue things, or this seems like a one-off, right?
I don't know. No, this is going to have a continuation. It was a cliffhanger.
I think this is a one-shot.
He's got the egg. Who's got the egg? The egg is being held hostage. You're not going to one-shot that. No, that's terrible.
I think this is a one-shot.
All right, so the whole thing is basically Howard is in a human in a world all with animals, and he is sent out...
Except it's Battle World, so it's not a world all with animals. All he has to do is go, like, 10 feet over, and he's in,
well,
like...
Well, that's what I'm asking.
He's in all-woman, or, like, you know, estrogenia.
Well, only Thors can travel between. And that's what I'm wondering. Is this a world? Are these worlds, or is this, like... Again, kind of going from Manhattan under the Hudson to Jersey.
This is New Quack City.
Got that.
New Quack.
All right.
His bartender is Kirk Connors.
That was good. And Daredevil as a blind mouse. That was cool.
Okay, so Daredevil somehow has transferred over his legal skills, but brilliant scientist Kurt Connors cannot find a job in New Quack City, so he becomes a bartender. He is not a scientist.
There's always a need for lawyers. There's not a need for science. That's pretty much what we live by in this age. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm saying that, like, Howard is still an investigator.
Right.
Daredevil, though he is a mouse here, he could be like Danger Mouse then, if he's Daredevil. Instead of Daredevil, he's Danger Mouse.
Maybe Scotty Young shunned the STEM classes in school and just didn't really want to write about sciencey shit.
Scotty, no!
Scotty, do! Hashtag STEM! Science, technology, engineering.
Hashtag
I actually reviewed a STEM comic book many years ago, and bravo to that guy that wrote that, about a comic book about learning science, technology, engineering, and math. That's hard. Yeah. But he believed the children of the future.
The buzzard shows up.
Okay.
The buzzard shows up.
Yep. Black cat.
Huh?
Don't forget about Black Cat.
Black Cat is a black cat. The buzzard's a buzzard. That makes me think, you know, what makes me think of this is thinking, like, it would be great to see Howard the Duck take on some of these animal heroes in the real Marvel Universe. Like, what would he do against the buzzard?
But it doesn't exist in the real Marvel Universe, and you hate multiverses and crossovers into multiverses.
No,
so
I'm talking about Howard the Duck, the actual duck.
Okay.
Once all this battle shit is over with, to go and do Howard the Duck and have him fight, like, the Grizzly and Black Cat and all these other characters, because they're trying to be animals, or they're using animal-like totems, and he is an actual duck.
Okay, I thought I was being more literal, meaning bring these characters over from this battle world into
the world. No.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
No, I just want, and I, you know, I think this Howard the Human getting turned into a human is interesting, but I would not want to follow Howard the Human. I want Howard the Duck. I like Howard the Duck. At the same time, this was a fun little, like, noir tale.
Yeah.
It was a, I think that it was drawn really vividly and excitedly, and I think it was, it's really great to see Jim Mahfood, who is usually an indie guy, in a Marvel book. And I like Marvel taking some artistic chances like that. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Wilson Fisk as a gorilla, I don't know. Maybe that's reminiscent of, I would have made him a walrus.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems like he would be better as a walrus.
You gotta have a reason.
Kingpin, I think he'd be better as a walrus. I think, I don't know. It's just maybe a gorilla, I guess, but I'm thinking about something that's bigger and fatter, so.
Well, how about a, how about just a sperm whale?
The monkey hand.
What about manatee? A manatee. That's a kingpin, because they only come out at night too. I pet a manatee a couple months ago in Mexico, and they have little anal. It looks like your asshole is where their eyes are, because they don't come up during the sunlight. And Wilson Fisk only operates at night.
I was at an aquarium once, and a manatee came by the aquarium thing, and it shit right there when it went past my face.
Oh. I fed it cabbage.
Well, it probably shit there. You were probably up front feeding it rancid cabbage.
Different manatee.
Shit in my face. Fuck that walrus, or fuck that manatee.
Yeah, they're different. They're different.
I don't
know. You had a trouble. You didn't do childhood well.
Yeah, I did not have a good childhood.
And you know what? We unearthed some archives recently.
Oh, you're right.
We did, and it's actually, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about your repressed memory of Uncle Drunkle Miller.
Uncle Drunkle Miller, yes.
Coming Christmas time, we went into your mother's house after you left, and we pulled from the attic all the tapes of your Christmases. And so we have Christmas 1983 with Uncle Drunkle Miller.
Uncle Drunkle Miller.
And I think
we also have some theme song music.
I believe you guys did have a theme song before you guys went and recorded all your Christmases. Just when you thought we didn't need more filler,
it's Christmas 1983 with my Uncle Drunkle Miller.
Hey, Ginger, my lap, why don't you sit?
Uncle Drunkle?
Boy, so your kiss is on my list this Christmas, Loretta. You've done another fine goose.
Uncle Drunkle.
Hey, Marky, little, what is it? You're little what, fucking nine? 9-year-old Marky Miller.
I'm 11 now.
You're so small.
I'm reading Alpha Flight number 1. It's amazing.
Is that a comic book?
Yeah, it's by John Byrne.
I'm really glad I lost my uvula over in Nam. So you could read Alpha Flight by who?
John Byrne.
And what is Superman now Greek?
When I was a kid, even younger than I am now.
Younger than 11. Tell me about the wisdom you of age 6s through 9.
I always pronounced it John Brine.
We think your father pulled out. Don't laugh. It's Christmas.
It's not funny.
It makes your mother. That's why your mother cries in the eggnog.
This one's got the first appearance of Puck in it. It's awesome.
What's a Puck?
Puck bounces around. He's kind of wears an outfit of leather and he bounces around.
So you're watching. Let me get this straight. Your Alpha Flight comic, which I still don't know what the shit an Alpha Flight is, has a midget in leather that bounces.
Yeah, and then there's also some twins. And one of them? I don't know about one of them.
Hey, Marky. Marky, do they have big cans?
No, I don't know. One of them's wearing a really tight suit.
Are they both men?
No, it's a man and a woman, and they're brother and sister.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then there's a Sasquatch.
Are they a team?
Uncle Drunkle, have you ever seen Sasquatch? In your many travels around the world?
That was how I lost my uvula in Nam. It was one of Charlie's Sasquatch. Tore out my uvula. Precision. The Sasquatch is with they're a precision strike.
I liked it because it had colorful characters and it was neat. This is my favorite comic ever. Do you want to look at it?
Sure, let me read it. Yeah, hold on. Let me put the eggnog on the corner of it here. Just hold it down.
I'll be playing with my mad balls over here.
Mad balls! Hey, let's talk about balls. What are those?
They're these little balls that they have faces on them, and they're squishy. And my pen pal in Pennsylvania, JD, he only has one mad ball.
His parents didn't give him a full set of mad balls?
No, one was taken out.
Was one mad ball can damage out of package?
It was too mad. Too mad for the scrotum.
I do love this toy.
I do love this toy.
I'm going to take it and throw it in the fire. Merry Christmas. What else do you have?
I have my Crystar Crystal Warrior.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
That's a crystal warrior. He fights molten men, and he's got a sword and a shield, and look at him.
Has your mother had you tested?
I love this toy.
God, gimme it, so it's in the fire with that toy. Gimme the eggnog.
Uncle Drunkle!
Where's your mother? She's an ass that could defy fucking Hall & Oates love songs.
And what about my Star Wars bandolier?
Ah, Star Wars, that I saw. And
you see that?
I was with a girl who does the popcorn thing.
Did you see the Star Wars bandolier that Chewbacca carries?
Oh, that's cute. That's what's wrapped around your chest, huh?
I've got every Star Wars figure I ever have, and some of them are collector's items, and they're all in this bandolier right here.
You know what I strapped to my chest through the 70s? Buckets of napalm.
I don't know what that is, Uncle Drunkle.
That's what I used to burn Asians. Don't laugh. Fucking horrible child.
You're drunk.
Yes, it's Christmas. And I'm so lonely.
But this is my favorite toy.
Okay, I won't take the other toys. Right, just turn around, you little bastard. Don't get this. In the fire. What?
That was all my Star Wars figures.
Good. I don't have a uvula.
But at least I still have my Alpha Flight comic book. Did you like it? Did you read it?
I did. I looked it over. The North Star?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's a man's man.
He's going places?
Now, I can tell that he's going to be the emphatic leader of this team, and I'll bet he just bangs. Vagina every arc.
Do you think he's gonna go on a date with Snowbird?
I think he's gonna impregnate it.
I don't understand, Uncle Drunkle. Can you give me my comic book back?
Yeah, I'm done. All right.
I think it's a collector's item, so I'm going to put this in a poly bag.
You would think that. You know it's a collector's item? Gold.
I don't have any of that.
All right, I'm going home. This fucking Christmas is done.
Bye, Uncle Drunkle.
Die. Wow, that was really enlightening, Mark.
Uncle Drunkle.
That was great. I hope, we found a few more years that, maybe we'll play those.
We'll look them up. You know what's weird? You sound a lot like Uncle Drunkle.
Do I?
Yeah, it's uncanny.
Well, but, Uncle Drunkle, he's a terrible, terrible human being, it sounds like. Just awful. Is that why you want to do the podcast with me every week? It's like a family reunion?
Pretty much.
Should I take away things that you love?
Something, maybe things that I secretly love.
Oh. Love it. I think that was a segue.
Like a Secret Wars? Secret love?
Wow. I mean, what the shit you want to talk about? So this is a battle world where love exists, right?
It's a world where... Secret lovers.
That's what we are at Christmas in Uncle Drunkle's car.
I don't think that's words, but the weird thing about this is that none of this love in here is secret.
It's lusty too. It's not all love.
It's not even really that lusty. Is this at all lusty?
And I beat it to Squirrel Girl.
Uncle Drunkle?
No.
Is that you?
No, it's Tom Patey. What? That was inappropriate?
First we start out with a rough drawn story by Michael Fife.
Favorite of the book. Favorite art of the book for me.
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, I
it's
like
dedicated
it
to Ann Nocenti and John Romita Jr. because this is torn from the Inferno section of Battle World.
That could be why I like it. I see what you're saying, that it's the facial proportions are amateurish, but it's almost so done on purpose that I give it lead way.
Oh.
Okay.
I didn't love this first story. For some reason, she lights on fire with her mind just a line of just along the seam of his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like frzg.
Wow, you gave this more attention than I did.
I'm looking through it right now, too.
Okay.
But I just feel that, I liked it that she turns into Mephisto, and then there's a little twist there.
Oh.
And it's the power of love. It's like Huey Lewis.
Because you don't need money. You don't need fame.
It's the power of love that heals this. Yeah. Because Karen Page goes and she chops off the head of Mephisto. I don't think that really happened. But that's what happened in that story. Mm-hmm. Second story was, equally underwhelming. Although the art was better.
This is the Justin Jordan guy, isn't it?
This is not Justin Jordan. This
no, not the
is Robert
writer.
Reyes. It's not the same artist either.
Oh, different Ghostwriter. Okay.
It's
good.
It's Ghostwriter. It's that Robert Reyes Ghostwriter guy. But it's basically taking the Ghostwriter character and the Miss Marvel character. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Little Miss Marvel. And she's working as a hot dog stand, and Ghost Rider is racing. They have a typical superhero team up.
Yeah.
And then, I didn't understand, there's one scene in here where Ghost Rider opens his mouth,
mm-hmm.
flames come out, and it says, vip, 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 vip. What happened there?
Again, you read way more into this than I did.
And then the two people who love Ghost Rider and Miss Marvel have crushes on them, but they can't really say it to their faces. They think that Ghost Robert Reyes and Miss Marvel are going to kiss, but they don't. They just shake hands, and they're besties. They're crossover besties.
And when did Ghost Rider become somebody you could fall in love with? This is almost like making Darth Vader the protagonist.
Yeah.
And the comic books, it's like, how do you sit on his face?
Well, but it wouldn't be. It would be like when Robert Reyes is there, not Ghost Rider. But then, after those two useless tales, we get a third tale, which this was my favorite of the book. Really highlighting the fun relationship between Danny Rand and Misty Knight, who are not married in the 616 universe. But in this one, this is a universe where the biggest difference is the fact that Danny Rand and Misty Knight got married and now they're bored with each other. They're becoming bored with each other. So they have a date night, and Jessica Jones and Nick Cage watch their kids. They have a date night. They don't know what to talk about to each other on at the dinner table at the restaurant. But then a giant dinosaur attacks, and they know exactly what to do. And they go out, and they beat the shit out of the dinosaur, which is kind of mean. It's like she punches the dinosaur in a soft, sensitive area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? I've been married for 15 years and just celebrated last week by going into the hospital. But if I didn't go into the hospital, we were going to have our own night of dinosaur punching. And that's what every couple needs to remember is remember to punch your dinosaur.
Is that the 5-year?
Is that dinosaur. You know, dinosaur is a 15-year. Yes, dinosaur high.
15-year. Okay. So then at the end, I like it that the best part was this last page where Misty is like they were going to watch a double feature of Enter the Dragon and Five Deadly Venoms, and then he's like tying cornrows in her hair, and they're eating popcorn together, and I just liked that. That was just really sweet, and it just felt fun and neat, and it was interesting that they had like these guys in a relationship when they don't have them in a relationship in the comics. They never highlight the fact that these two are together. I think it's a kind of a disservice to both characters that they don't highlight the fact that they could have this relationship. And it would be interesting to see a Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Danny Rand, Misty Knight book. That would be great. Like all four of them together, the way it used to be. I mean, it's none of them are in the Avengers anymore. So let's put them in this book. I would a book together. Nice. And then have it be like about relationship and stuff like that. That would be kind of fun.
I'll sometimes sit there and do Carly's hair and the cornrows, and she goes, I'm a German Slovak, you dumb fuck.
Well, you know.
Stop doing cornrows in my hair.
Cause blonde hair can get into cornrows as well.
And you see that on cruises all the time. It's just white girls trying to front.
Yeah. Then we get another really rough story.
Come on. Don't even.
Squirrel Girl winning a date with Thor, and Sunfire is there dancing with Firestar, and Squirrel Girl, like the Lucy character that she is, she thinks that they're setting a fire, and she tears off Thor's shirt. The only funny part of this is when she starts naming Thor's abs.
Stop.
That was kind of funny.
Just stop.
This one is Orlando. This one is Domingo. This one is Archibald, which was dumb, but still, that was the only like laugh moment here. Then a chariot driven by giant squirrels is taken to. It's just stupid, and I couldn't even follow the last one. It's a scavenger hunt, and so Ant-Man and the Wasp. They take a break from beating each other for him to have her go on a scavenger hunt, or Ant-Man's laid out some clues and she has to follow the clues. That reminded me of the Family Guy where or what was the episode? There was a cartoon where, like, they had the husband put all these clues out, and they were just, like, horrible clues, and it was just to keep her busy so that he could actually do something. Was that Family Guy or Simpsons?
Sounds close enough.
Yeah.
I don't remember which, yes.
I don't know. But it's basically a scavenger hunt. They end up going into, like, having dinner somewhere together. There's, like...
Just don't buy this book. Don't.
Yeah.
Just don't buy this book.
For one five-page story in a, what, 22-page book.
Just don't.
Or actually, this is 31 pages. Like, more. This is a bigger book. So this is probably, like, shit. Probably... This book is probably $6, and it's worth about $1.
Just don't buy it.
And it's interesting because it's like, mm-hmm. I think that there were stories back in the day of, there were people that could actually tell. It just shows how far we've come at comic writers or in comic books that we can't have issue with short stories and people don't even know how to tell a short story or people don't even, it's like just lame, unsurprising, uninteresting stories without character moments. It's like we've got to extend it to a 12-issue arc.
And how would Doom really create a secret love world? Let's look at this within this ridiculous construct that they've created. Would Doom be concerned about creating a secret love battle world?
I want real secret loves. I want, like, you know, like Triton and Lockjaw.
There's pain. Your secret love is just awful.
All right. I want loves that should not be.
You know what? Let's try to end this with something that's not awful. And let's at least say the name, Welcome Back, number one from Boom Studios.
Welcome Back. Why do everything here has a musical name?
All the titles this week?
Yeah.
Or we just are stupid and can make anything into a musical.
Yeah, but Welcome Back, like Welcome Back, Cotter. This follows the further adventures of Horseshack. What happens outside of the classroom and things get real.
Yeah, it's behind the school where Mr. What was it? I can't remember the principal's name, but that's where
Mr.
he'd go.
Cotter?
Not the principal. Remember the principal that would come in and tell Cotter what a waste he was?
Yeah, he was mean.
Yeah,
he
that's
was
where
old white haired guy.
That's where he'd get blowjobs from Horseshack in Washington.
Yeah. What about Epstein? What was his business?
Epstein hubcaps.
they had every ethnic group there. They had a Horseshack, who was obviously Jewish.
Well, and they were all the worst of their ethnicities, though. It's like they couldn't even embody the true thuggishness associated with the ethnicities. Horseshack was Jewish. He was terrible with money.
Vinnie Barbarino.
He was Italian. He could not cut hair or make pizza.
Yeah. Epstein was a Mexican with an afro.
And he would steal scooter hubcaps instead of car hubcaps.
And he told rhymes.
Right. And Washington loved to play.
Like a black guy.
He loved to play.
They had to call him Washington.
And he loved to play the violin.
But he also said, hi there.
Hi there, Mr. Carter. Yeah, he was the whitest of all of them, really.
Yeah.
Okay, this book is not about that, though.
This was not Gabe Kaplan. This was Christopher Sabella, illustrated by Jonathan Brandon Sawyer.
See.
And, yes, and this is Highlander.
Oh, yeah. Completely. It's female Highlander.
This is basically Highlander.
It's a League of Assassins who are reincarnated over time, and they sometimes kill themselves to just get reincarnated. To come back more youthful and powerful, but it's Highlander.
Or if you just want to simplify it, you can just call it Highlander.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You should watch Highlander.
Yes, Highlander. Yes. Yeah, I don't know.
It's well drawn.
It's well drawn, but why? Why do this? My question is just like, it's like you're not even going out of your genre. It's like, you know, if you're going to do something, why not take a story that hasn't been done in an action format, a fantastic action format?
Right.
Why not go... we had another sort of Highlander sort of thing this week, right? A thing with like cross-generational. It's the... it's the Geomancer. Well, the Geomancer.
Yeah.
The Geomancer kind of like is like... gets killed and then someone else steps up into place. Same thing with Eternal Warrior, and but at least Eternal Warrior, there's a backstory and there's a mythology there, and there's at least something extra here. This reminded me of the guild or the sect or whatever it was called from Wanted.
Oh yeah, the Illuminati-ish kind of
meets Highlander, and it's just one half of step away from that. And I could see somebody pitching this. He's saying, okay, this is Highlander, except it's got a young, sassy teen girl.
And she's an assassin, and she's an 88-pound Asian masseuse.
Yes. I mean she's a tiny little girl, and she's the Highlander. And that's the difference. That's the big difference.
Again, females...
So think Highlander, except it's got fucking, I don't know, like... Christina Aguilera, or not even her. What's her name? Who's the tweak? Who's the
Ariana Grande.
Is that her? I don't know who that is.
What you're talking about. Anyway.
Got a tiny little teen girl, and it's just like that. It's, to me, it feels catering to this trend of making... of having female protagonists of things, and I know that everybody yells at me for that. But if you don't see the fact that if you don't see the trend here of doing that, why don't you check out the new press release for Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, which is basically coming out in the fall.
From who?
From Marvel. And you know, it's just funny with things like. Everything is. I mean, it's getting to the point, and I don't want to really piss people off by saying this, but it does once again get to the point where it's like, if you're a guy reading this, I just can't connect with this teen girl character, and there's nothing going on in here that really makes her different than... I mean, is this girl any different than Spider-Gwen or any of this other stuff?
No.
It's the same sassy girl who has... This is basically Juno, which is basically every other character that's coming out there. It's Juno with superpowers, or Juno as Highlander.
Let's play a defense card here. Maybe that's the only way that we can get the next generation, especially females, to imbibe the Highlander concept.
Well, you know what? Sometimes there are concepts that maybe the teen girls aren't going to like, and that doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean it's bad that teen girls won't like it.
And we've got enough of those books with enough of those concepts. We're fine.
I want a... How about a decent fucking Highlander book?
Okay.
You can't make a good movie about it.
Let's go write a Highlander book, you and I.
It won't get passed because it doesn't have a teen girl in it.
Well, fine. We'll put one in and we'll get rid of her early.
And then people will be like, oh my god, this is so much like Welcome Back. Can't believe you're stealing that Welcome Back concept.
Holy crap, Gabe Kaplan should just sue you.
Jeez.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. Well, what's the Welcome Back section of this? You like this?
No.
Okay.
It's Highlander with pretty art. The art was pretty. And I can go with an 88-pound assassin if they use stealth and guile and their little, you know, their little cheetah monkey or whatever they are, the chintzy monkeys, the little tiny ones that can go around and bite you to death. I get the concept of the smaller overtaking, the seemingly more powerful, physically more powerful. I'm fine with that. But give the girl that level of cunning and guile already in her life, I guess, as part of the reincarnation process to make me care more. Don't make it such a switch. switch. It was such a lever and switch in this character. It's kind of like she didn't evolve to this. She wasn't reincarnated at this point. She was imbued or bestowed upon it out of nowhere. And that, to me, lost a lot of the power that they probably could have picked up in this title.
Yeah, it just feels, I don't know.
Not to rewrite it for him, but I'm going to rewrite
it just,
for him.
It just feels a little, I don't know. If I was I read comics to escape, and I will read a comic with a female protagonist. I will read a comic with a protagonist different than I am. And I want to escape, and I want to read those stories from those perspectives. I'm not getting anything from a girl's perspective here, or feeling like it's something that's interesting or new, or a new take on something, or a new twist on something, or it's even a world that is anything different than the one I experience outside my window right now. I mean, this is just basically a punk girl. She basically, what does she do? She breaks up with her boyfriend. She breaks up with him because she has a nightmare and punches him in the face.
She had an assassin past life remembrance.
Yes.
And in that dream fever state, she kicked the shit out of her boyfriend.
Yeah. And so.
Happens.
He's a dick. Why?
Well, come on now. I mean, some chick that you weren't only kind of into beat the fuck out of you in her sleep, you'd bail.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's just saying, like, this
I'd
is.
I'd bail.
He says you're nuts, because she basically is, and she comes back to him saying, like, I can't believe I kept you around as long as you did. You were a fling at best, and you're losing your hair, and your music sucks.
Yep.
And I guess if you're a teenage girl and you always wanted to say that to some guy, that's escapist kind of stuff. But if you're a guy, like, reading this, it's like it feels like the girl is just kind of just a psycho.
Okay, you've never been in... What's your longest relationship?
I've been in, like, 4 and 5 year relationships.
Okay, and at the 4 or 5 year mark, what kind of drove the wedge between you?
Drove the wedge? I don't know.
They're kind of nuts.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's sort of a thing. I would be, too, man, if I was carrying that responsibility of populating the Earth. I wouldn't like it. I'd be a little batty too, but it's that's why it's hard, and you gotta decide if you're gonna put up with the fucking crazy or not.
I know. I don't know. It just didn't feel like this was a genuine voice. It didn't feel like this was interesting to me. It felt way too much like a story that all geeks know. And mm-hmm. it's just like, you know, for It's frustrating to see this coming from companies like Boom and like IDW, that they're not, or not IDW, Boom and like Image, like they're not taking chances with stories. They're basically taking, okay, this is a little girl Highlander book, and that's it. That's the selling point, and that's what this book is. And it's just, it's disappointing that It's just not interesting. It's not original. It's just frustrating. I want to read much more original stuff.
You're
than this, or Moon Boy versus, or Moon Girl versus in Devil Dinosaur. You know, it's like I remember all the shit I took when I first had Jungle Book out, when we changed Mowgli, and now it's like. It's revolutionary and it's big that you know the boy character is turned into a girl, but stuff like that was done like long ago. It's not new. It's not revolutionary. In fact, it's just it's gotten kind of like passé now.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, I agree. I agree with you, and I can't give it that much of a fuck anymore because. It is what it is. It's a trend that people are going to ride. It is our cultural. It's a cultural wave. Okay, it is. You create an original idea, and then you exploit it through pastiche after pastiche after pastiche after pastiche. Then it becomes a parody. Okay, I mean, just look at anything the fucking Wayans brothers have produced past In Living Color, and you can see they are the death knell of all these you know media cycles, vampires, zombies, all this shit. This is the tide of it, and. and we're seeing now the glut of pastiche books in this female-driven market, and I think it's going to oversaturate itself eventually. I hope women get tired of this, because you honestly deserve better. Let them, yes. let the books will come.
I just can't wait. My new pitch is She-Hulk, except this time she's a woman.
Interesting. I like it.
Yep.
But you should also make her purple.
No.
I just want somebody to say Pulky.
Crazy.
Instead of Shulky or Rolky, I want Pulky.
You're crazy.
I am. I'm nuts. And you know what? I'm nuts because I'm deprived of oxygen and sleep. So should we end this?
Yeah, we don't have any more books to talk about.
Thank God, and no more tapes this week of horrible Christmases.
At least not this week.
Not this week. I'm sure we'll find more. Assuming it's more
recent. That was unrehearsed as well, just to let people know.
Of course it was, because it was a Christmas recording of Christmas in 1983.
Oh, you're right. It was live.
Yeah, fuck. No, not live recording. All right. You know what? Good night. I'm Rob Patey. I'm going to go shoot myself in the face editing this mess.
I'm Ambush Bug, a.k.a. Mark_L_Miller.
JD, come back to us, because this is arduous. This is work.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've